Hey, what's happening out there in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'm podcasting from Fiji, more exactly from the Fiji Benga Lagoon Resort, and I'm teaching a kids' sea camp. It's a very unique program where actually parents and the children go on a vacation, and both of them actually have their own program. So I'm teaching the kids on sharks, about sharks, and how to hang out with them. So it's really a blast. And we're talking children from 6 to 16. And the older ones from 10 on, I actually take down. And if you would think that these kids were afraid of bull sharks, met up to 30 the other day, you would be mistaken. They're actually a blast. They wanted to get closer. And the really neat part is that these kids really want to learn. So tell a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, hey, you know, during vacation time, you have to sit in some lectures. You wouldn't really get a lot of response, good response. So, but fact is, they sometimes were sitting 10 minutes prior to my lecture, already in lecture hall, and were waiting. So I'm having a total blast. Nevertheless, today I would like to talk about something different. I'd like to give you an idea, first idea, about what goes on in the first few seconds when we see a shark. We all have, of course, different type of emotions. Most of our people, they are afraid of sharks. There will be ultimately, as soon as one shows up, we start to being afraid. We want to withdraw. We want to get out of the water. Of course, let me tell you something. Whenever a shark shows up and even swims remotely in your throughout your direction, do not move. The only movement you can do is go in a vertical position and about stay there or float there. I mean, floating, you know, it's deeper than you can stand in, but never ever swim away. This will be the topic of another episode, because today I really would like to talk a little bit about the mental part, what goes on when a shark shows up, what we should do or what we have to look for. Well, when a shark first shows up, the main thing is we would like to know what goes on. What do I have to do? What influences the situation? What is the reason why the shark is there? For that purpose, I created an interaction concept called adore sane. Adore and sane, these two words don't have a meaning, but the nine letters, of course, they are part of this concept. And one of the neat things in this concept is I give you a tick list to figure out very quickly, within seconds, what the most likely intention of the shark is, why is there, and what influences the situation. But if we just go back now to these first few seconds, the big problem we have, if you're afraid of a shark, most likely will not truly understand the situation you are in with the shark. So try. And it's really, I really mean, try not be afraid, because there is no reason to be afraid of a shark. Sharks are the most harmless super predators on our planet. Meaning, I mean, over 50 kilograms, 110 pounds or so. Meaning that the likelihood to get bitten by a shark is so small. It's really unbelievable. I mean, considering last year we had only a handful of fatal incidents. And if you compare that to fatal incidents with hippos, well, they're close to 3,000. So that actually gives you an idea who is more dangerous. But again, who is more dangerous, less dangerous? It's a numbers game. And of course, you would have to have the density of the animals and on and on. But nevertheless, sharks are the most harmless creatures when it comes to incidents on people. So that's very important to know. The problem we have, we are afraid of the sharks, but we're also afraid of not knowing how a situation develops, not knowing what to look for, and we have no clue how to interpret the body language of these sharks. In addition to the other fears, for example, you know, you may lost your dive body, you may be in a strong current, all of a sudden the water gets murky or it gets dark, whatever, but the main thing is we do not have control over a situation. Of course, there are a tick list where you actually can learn what to look for. And this is actually very simple. Whenever a shark shows up, we have to look for three different type of areas. The outer circle, the inner zone, and the inner circle. The inner circle basically is the personal distance of a shark, which is about two body lengths. Why two body lengths? Well, this is what we found out when we did our research, that a shark, without, if there's no food around, does not come closer than about 1.5 to about 2.5 body length. And we've seen that not just in bull sharks, and we have seen it in Caribbean reef sharks, lemon sharks, and so on. So we dug a little deeper, and the interesting part is the lateral line system, the water pressure system of a shark, can detect water relocation pressure from about two body lengths away. Of course, when you're further away, a shark still recognizes something, but this is not the water relocation part. This is, of course, the actual sound. So whenever we move, we create sound and water relocation. So if there's no food available, or we do not really sound like something a shark really knows or is intrigued by, normally about two body lengths is what the shark comes towards us. So if this is an inner circle, of course, the outer circle is when a shark first notices our presence. And that doesn't mean the shark then changes his swim pattern. No, it's just aware that we are there. Most of the time, it is when a shark can see us. So the outer limit, the visual limit, is about what we would say is the outer circle. But most of the time, when you see a shark, chances are he has already seen you, and his swim pattern is already adapted towards you. Either really is coming towards you, or it swims off. And sometimes a shark stays at the outer circle. This is when we see a shark really out of the periphery, and he just swims up and down and seems not to be able to swim off, but not come close. So he's like, shark is like trapped in what he should do. Between the outer circle, the inner circle is when we normally see the most behaviors. This is the interzone, and what we, in human terms, will call a social zone. So when a shark is in the interzone, this is when you really start to interact, communicate with the shark, when you are able to see the different behavior patterns. Does the shark have a wound? And all these type of things. Even eye color is visible. If he's, of course, he has to be a little closer. But what I'm saying is, in this area is where you actually start to communicate and interact with a shark. Of course, when a shark swims in our general direction, there, of course, there are other things we should look for. For example, what's the swim speed of a shark? On what level does a shark swim? And of course, in what angle towards us? These are things that I mentioned before. And you know, if you start repeating these things, and you know, if you start adapting or using these things, you really will have an incredibly good handle on the entire situation. Whenever a shark approaches us, it is for different reasons. Most of the time, it's exploration. Shark would like to see what we are. Maybe we attracted a shark by struggling in the water, hanging out at the surface. And these are two things that sharks are very intrigued, because nothing that is really alive and healthy is actually hanging out at the surface and struggles around. So for a shark, this would mimic a struggling organism, and of course a dying organism, and a shark would like to get closer. But even if you submerge, let's say you are a diver, chances are the shark heard you from far off and didn't even see you first. So whenever a shark hears something, he doesn't know how loud we are at our core, so he will just swim towards the increase of the sounds. So if there's a low visibility, well, fact is, you most likely will have the shark right in your face, because the shark just swims against the sound pattern, a sound increase, and so he comes in directly. So whenever there's a low visibility, start pivoting, because then chances are you will actually see the shark as soon as it enters visual range. That the shark can smell us is often heard, but not really a fact, because if you just swim around and don't really do much, there's no taste that a shark could get from us. I mean, even if you pee or you bleed, these are not attractant to a shark. But I will get into the blood issue in another episode. So, point is, a shark can hear us from far off, and once it's in visual range, the eyes take over. But even when the eyes take over, the other sensory organs, the closer the shark comes, the more sensory organs the shark will use to try to figure out what we are. Of course, the shark will never get a good idea what we are, but it's not really necessary that he understands human per se. What matters the most during these interactions is that the shark starts to relax around us. And this is a very prominent thing that we always have to keep in mind. Sharks are, generally seen, afraid of us. Okay? The majority of sharks will never ever approach us. So even sharks like white sharks or tiger sharks, they will stay most of the time further away. They may get a little more curious. But a shark that actually swims into touching distance, really, it's in his inner circle. I mean, in a circle we call the hot zone. This is the exception to the rule. So our prime task whenever we are in the water with a shark should be to calm an animal down. So in order for an animal to calm down, first of all, don't move. I just mentioned that don't move around, because give the shark a stationary target and then the shark likely will come closer. Of course, if you create a chum trail, the shark most likely comes closer much quicker and is really getting close because there is a chum trail and the shark would like to know where the source is. Of course, if you are right at the chum trail beginning, of course, you will be seen as the source. So it can be a little tricky, but that is the main reason if a shark really gets that close, because he smells something. As I just mentioned, sharks use different sensory organs whenever they come close. But if you use general literature, some things are not really well examined yet. So when you're out there, just remember it's the vision, it's the sound, and these guide the shark in. So if you do not struggle like a prey and are not at the surface, then, of course, a shark will not confirm or cannot feel confirmed that the pattern, the sound, actually would reflect a struggling fish. Visually, we do not resemble anything. And we will get into that the mistaken identity with surfers and white sharks. We will get into that. That is, of course, not a fact either. I hope you got a little idea now how to approach, mentally approach, a scenario with a shark. But even if you can't remember anything, the only thing you should really remember is sharks are not dangerous. Sharks are curious animals, but there's no such thing that a shark will just come from the depth or from wherever, swims into us and bites us for the sake of biting, because no shark bites us for no reason. So if you don't move, if you just watch the animal, you have to pivot sometimes. That means you turn around your body axis, following the shark's pattern, and you do not swim away. I guarantee you, you will have a blast. That's it for today. Tune in again. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.